Chapter 9.
There's the man of the hour!
Becca called out when I walked into the main room of Cincy's Jewel. The blonde bombshell was standing there in a simple blue pantsuit with a frilly pink top underneath that hugged the curves of her body tight. Becca had two large golden hoop earrings in her earlobes, and her black mascara and blue eyeshadow made her hazel eyes pop. She stood atop a pair of simple brown high-heeled shoes, and she held a clipboard in her hand as she smiled from ear to ear. Beside Becca, Valerie stood chit-chatting with Leah, and the mocha-skinned woman looked more beautiful than I'd ever seen her before. She had on a black business casual top with a few bits of white faux gemstones around the collar, and on her lower half, Valerie wore a pair of khaki pants that hugged her ass and pushed it up with the intensity of a push-up bra. The woman's short brown hair was parted to the right, so it framed her perfectly rounded face, and her green eyes shimmered under the lights of the lounge. Meanwhile, Naomi was over at the bar nursing a glass of whiskey as she flipped through one of the books we'd taken from the mausoleum. "Sorry to keep you waiting," I said with a half-smirk. "I kind of dozed off in my office." Leah and Naomi both went wide-eyed when they heard what I'd just said.
"It's all right, though,"
Ada quickly promised.
"I woke him up before the situation became a crisis."
I could sense the collective relief in the room when the women were told I was okay, but thankfully, Valerie and Becca were both completely oblivious to what we were talking about. "So," I asked the two newbies, "I've been asking everybody if they're ready for tonight, but what about you two?"
"More than ready,"
Valerie smirked.
"I spent hours studying the markets before I sent out those targeted ads, so I know for a fact we're going to get a good turnout."
"How so?"
Becca questioned in a bit of a ditzy tone.
"This is a soft opening, right? You didn't market to anybody that we'd be open."
"You really don't know much about marketing, do you?"
The mocha-skinned woman smiled.
"Of course, we didn't explicitly mention the soft opening in any of our promoted posts. But I may or may not have gone around campus and told everybody I could find that there was a rumor that the new Cincy's Jewel would be opening up to the public today. And this rumor may or may not have caught on like wildfire."
"You sly dog,"
Leah cackled as she slapped her friend on the shoulder.
"You're a genius, Valerie."
"Anybody would have done it,"
the green-eyed woman shrugged.
"Fuck,"
Ada whistled.
"I wouldn't have thought to do it. That's why we pay people like you to do that shit."
"I gotta ask, Becca," I said as I nodded to the clipboard in her hands. "What's that thing for? Are you planning on doing a lot of accounting work tonight?"
"Nope."
Becca shook her head and giggled.
"But I plan on counting numbers for sure. I'm going to keep a tally of every single person walking through this door today."
"What for? I told Tony we weren't even doing a cover charge for tonight."
"Look at it this way. Even if this whole place is packed to the brim with people who all got in for free, they're going to be more willing to spend money on the other things inside your establishment. Maybe if they don't have to worry about the $20 cover charge, they'll put that money towards buying a steak or two more drinks than they plan to. Then they'll tell their friends about this awesome place they found, and our customers should grow exponentially, which is why I want to keep track of our initial nights. Extra money in the pockets of customers is always a good thing, Carter."
I suppose she had a point. The last thing I wanted to do for a soft reopening was to nickel and dime everybody to the point where they hated the place. We all talked casually as Cincy's Jewel came to life around us, and about an hour later, the piano player we'd hired for tonight's music arrived, so we showed her to her place and talked about what sort of atmosphere we were going for, and whether or not she would do requests. We decided on something casual yet still a bit classy, a.k.a. Muzak. Soon afterwards, the catering company came into the room and started to ask where they could refrigerate their goods, where their employees could take breaks, and things like that. We got their bartenders set up behind our main bar, as well as the three smaller, tap-only bars we had on either side of the space. Once everybody was in place, I stood back and admired what we'd accomplished. The new, improved Cincy's Jewel was ready to go. All that was missing was the customers. The time flew by as everybody got into position, until finally I heard my phone start to vibrate in my pocket. I pulled it out to see Tony, our chief of security, was calling, so I hit the accept button and held it up to my ear. "What's up, Tony?"
Boss,"
his voice answered.
"How many people do you want to go at a time?"
"What do you mean? It's a soft opening. Let them all in."
I'm not sure that's a good idea,"
Tony said, and his voice shook nervously.
"I don't think the fire code people would even let us."
My heart fluttered in my chest as the possibilities washed through my brain. "Wait, Tony, how many people are out there right now?"
"No idea on a concrete number, but the line is all the way around the block."
Holy fuck. I couldn't believe it. The line is around the block, I announced to everybody in the room, and they all murmured with excitement. Okay, Tony, so how about you let the first 100 people in, and then we'll go from there?
The fire code says we can have 300 in there at the time.
Okay, then, send in the first 300. Actually, the first 250. We gotta account for ourselves and the employees.
All right, boys,
Tony said, presumably to his bouncer buddies.
The boss man says we can let the first 250 people in. Knock 'em dead, Carter.
With that, my chief of security hung up.
250 people?
Leah whistled.
I didn't think we'd hit that total all night, let alone right when we opened the doors.
You keep doubting me, Leah.
Valerie clicked her tongue.
And yet, time and time again, I keep proving you wrong. You're right.
The blonde Polywarm sighed, and then she bowed down to her friend.
You're goddamn right.
Val responded in her best Walter White voice.
Places, everyone!
I bellowed to all the employees of Cincy's Jewel.
The first guests are coming in now.
People started to flock in by the handful, and before long, every single seat at both the bars and the booths were filled. The lounge was filled with mostly younger college students, surely the same ones who had heard Valerie's rumor and wanted to avoid the cover charge. Casual banter mixed into the air with the sound of soft piano music, and I felt like I'd stepped right into an episode of Mad Men, well, minus the dapper clothes. All of these college students were in their finest sweatpants and t-shirts, but I couldn't complain, because that was the exact audience I was going for. Once my nerves had calmed down, the fun really began. Becca posted herself beside the door and counted every single person Tony led inside, while Ada started to walk around and ask customers how they were doing, if they were enjoying themselves, and the like, which left Naomi, Leah, Valerie, and I to our own devices. Then the pianist started to play Ray Charles's What Did I Say, and I suddenly felt a compulsion to get out there on the dance floor. Ladies? I asked the three women. Would you care to grab a drink and join me out on the main floor?
What do you think I've been doing this whole time?
Naomi asked in a somewhat tipsy tone.
Not really a dancer, though. Neither am I.
Valerie shook her head.
What are you talking about?
Leah scoffed.
I've seen you bust a move to Baby Got Back literally every time we go to the club.
Val's face flushed red, and she gave her friend a glare that could peel paint. That's the beauty of this place, my friends. I grinned. It's a lounge that plays pretty tame music. You don't really have to dance so much as you sway with a drink in your hand.
Okay.
Naomi conceded as she shrugged, and then she finished her whiskey.
I'll do it.
These drinks are on you, right?
Leah winked. Duh, I teased as I put my arm around her waist. I'm the frickin' owner of this place. The four of us walked over to the nearest bar, which was swarmed with people, as they ordered their drinks and waited for them to be prepared. When I finally got up there, I ordered myself a glass of Johnny Walker Blue Label, a Sex on the Beach for Leah, a Blueberry Long Island Iced Tea for Val, and another glass of Wild Turkey 101 for Naomi. I tipped the bartender a $100 bill when he brought back our drinks, and his eyes lit up with gratitude as he pocketed the tip.
Ugh, I haven't had sex on the beach in so long.
Leah sighed when she took her glass.
Yeah, Carter.
Val teased.
You should get on that.
Well, well, well. I smirked as I looked over at the brown-haired woman and handed her the Long Island. Valerie just cracked a joke.
I'm not all fuddy-duddy, Carter.
She argued before she took a sip.
In fact, Becca and Leah can vouch for just how much fun I can be in the right situations.
You got that right.
Leah snickered around her straw.
Get a little bit of alcohol in this one, and she becomes a whole different person.
To Cincy's Jewel, I said as I raised my glass in a toast. And thank you all for helping me to accomplish this night.
To Cincy's Jewel.
All three of them repeated as they clinked their glasses against mine and took a swig. Then we moseyed out onto the dance floor, where there were already several people standing around chatting and swaying with the casual tunes in the air.
Oh, I know what song I want next.
Valerie giggled.
Oh, don't you dare.
The Polywarm frowned and shook her head.
You know how much pianists hate playing that song.
But it's a classic.
Val shrugged.
I'm gonna go suggest it.
Leah opened her mouth to protest, but her friend was already on the move. We watched as Val headed over to the pianist, flagged down her attention, and then said something indiscernible. The pianist responded with a roll of her eyes, but then she cracked her knuckles and obliged. Seconds later, I instantly recognized the song as Piano Man.
She's gonna hate you forever!
Leah giggled as Valerie returned.
I know, I know.
The marketing guru winked.
I'm so bad.
As the song went on, a large group of people began to form on the floor, and soon we were all swaying back and forth in time and singing along with the lyrics. It was incredible to see all the smiles on our patrons' faces, and I realized that, even though we were only about an hour into opening day, there would be very successful days ahead for Cincy's Jewel. The pianist finished up Piano Man and then instantly broke into Dancing Queen, and the crowd went wild. We all sang and danced through the next few songs until my friends had finished their drinks. Shit, I said as I gestured to their cups. Let me go get you some more, just hang tight. I turned around and began to make my way through the crowd. Then some idiot slammed into my chest, and since I was a bit tipsy, the impact caused me to stumble back a few steps.
Watch it, asshole!
A familiar voice hissed, and then the man turned to face me. The pale blue eyes, thinning red hair, and the massive ginger beard, plus a face that was ridiculously punchable. It was Toby, the douche canoe I'd punched out in Leah's dorm.
They'll let anybody into this place, huh?
I snarked.
I'll say,
he said with an assholish smirk.
Did you finally get tired of Leah Nash riding your dick and come out to find a new fuck toy? I heard she gives shit blowjobs anyway, so that's not surprising.
Toby, I growled as I tightened my fist. I say this with the utmost restraint. Don't push me. Not today.
Or what? You're gonna sucker punch me again like last time? That was a dick move, even for a pussy like you.
Maybe, I warned.
Yeah, a good punch would make me feel very, very good right now. You know, I almost got suspended for that fight, right?
The red-bearded asshole grumbled.
And for what? You dropped out of school anyway. Wait. Is that why you're here? You're a helpless alcoholic now, and your life has fallen apart?
I took every inch of willpower in my body to keep my calm demeanor, but I realized if I didn't get out of here soon, I was going to cause a scene. Whatever. I rolled my eyes and started past. I've got way better things to do than talk to you.
Whoa there,
Toby said, and two of his frat boy friends stepped in my way.
Move,
I said with the hint of a growl rumbling beneath my words. My patience is starting to wear very, very thin.
Did you hear that?
Toby snickered, and then his voice changed to a mocking tone.
His patience is wearing thin. Well, tell you what, Carter, you admit you're a coward and a failure, and we'll let you through.
A coward and a failure? I'd killed men 10 times scarier than this douchebag. I'd say failure's a relative term. I shrugged. I mean, look at you guys. I know your entire frat has to cheat just to pass a test, and even then you still just barely end up scraping by. Oh, and you keep calling me a dropout all you want, but do you know why I dropped out?
I don't give a shit.
Look around, you asshole. I smirked and rose up to my full height. You see this club? This massively successful club. I own it.
Bullshit.
The frat boy laughed.
Now you're really just blowing hot air, Hatfield.
And believe me or don't. I shrugged. The fact of the matter is, my friends need drinks, so you need to move out of my way.
Those friends over there?
Toby asked, as he pointed to Naomi, Valerie, and Leah.
They're pretty hot, don't you think, guys? And there are 3 of them, so we could split them between ourselves.
White-hot rage started to boil up from the deepest pits of my soul, and I continued to try and hold it down. I could have ripped this fucker's head off his spine and shoved it up his ass, if I really wanted to. But I had to control myself. He may have been a giant douche, but that didn't necessarily make him deserving of death. If I just went around indiscriminately killing everybody who made me angry, I'd be no better than a monster like Ichthigo. So I simply let out a sigh and tried to step forward. Again, the frat boys didn't move. One last time. Move, or I'm gonna make you move.
Yeah, what'd you say, bitch?
The man on the right asked, and then he reached out to grab me. I instantly grabbed his wrist, flipped around his body, and kicked out his right leg as I twisted his arm behind his back. There was a soft popping noise as the asshole let out a yelp, and I held him in place.
Who's the bitch now?
I growled, but in the back of my mind I was wondering why Naomi's protective spell wasn't working. It was supposed to eject any people who wanted to harm us, and these assholes definitely fit the bill. I had no more time for questions since the other fucker tried to punch me next, but I just sidestepped his attack with relative ease and then slammed my foot into his stomach. I held back so I didn't kill the bastard, but I put enough oomph into the attack that he doubled over and started to cough. Toby ran toward me as he hauled back his fist, and I didn't even flinch. I wanted to make a statement, and I wanted to make it loud and clear. Toby's fist slammed into my face, and my head whipped to the left. However, thanks to my enhanced strength, the punch felt like I'd been hit by a toddler. There was a short, tiny sting, and then nothing. But I thought I saw a few silver sparks floating in the corners of my vision.
What the fuck?
Toby sputtered, and then he hit me again. Still barely nothing. The next time he swung at me, I caught his fist in my palm and twisted it to the right. Toby screamed as I took the bones in his hand to the very edge of their breaking points, but I didn't make the full rotation.
You done?
I spat.
Or do I really have to embarrass you again? What the fuck is going on here?
My chief security officer asked as he and another bouncer ran up to the scene.
He attacked me!
Toby lied.
We were just sitting there, minding our business, and this drunken asshole walked up and started beating the shit out of us. I want to press charges.
Seriously? A typical rich frat boy. Take this asshole and his friends out of here, Tony, and put them on the banned list while you're at it.
You got that, boss.
Tony nodded, and then he lifted the pathetic ginger coward up to his feet.
Come on, buddy, time to go. Boss?
The idiot frat boy gaped between the huge bald man and me. I'm a lot of things, Toby. I shrugged and shot him a wink. A liar isn't one of them. This is my place, and you are now banned for life. The other bouncer helped the second and third frat boys to their feet, and then my security officers led the offenders to the door. The people who had been standing around us had seemed to notice the altercation, but the rest of the lounge kept going on, as if everything was normal.
That was pretty badass.
A soft voice giggled. I looked to my right and saw Janine was standing there with a small glass of red wine in her hand. I honestly didn't want to fight them, but they kind of left me no choice.
You don't have to justify it, Carter.
The redhead smiled.
Everybody knows Toby Ramos is the biggest asshole at UC. You probably just fulfilled about half the campus's dreams of punching him in the face right there.
I didn't punch him this time, I reminded the changeling. That was the last time he pissed me off.
Either way, it was awesome.
Janine shrugged, and then she took a long sip of her wine.
I just got here, but this turned out way better than I ever could have imagined, and the night is still young.
You're telling me. If this crowd keeps up, Becca claims we will have seen a grand total of 2,000 people in here before we close at 3 a.m. 2,000 during our soft opening, Janine.
That's wonderful.
The redhead purred.
We should celebrate.
Isn't that what we're doing right now? I was just on the way to get the others more drinks.
I had something else in mind.
The beautiful paranormal archaeology student said, as she sauntered forward and ran a finger down my chest.
Plus, I was able to find something important about the Shadow Man. But we need to be alone first, away from all this noise and potentially eavesdropping ears.
I gave Janine a nod, and then we both went over to the bar and grabbed the girls' drinks.
Damn, Carter, you really put that dick in his place.
Naomi grinned as I handed over her drink. Yeah, but I was kind of wondering why I had to, I said with a frown. I thought your protection spell was supposed to eject anyone who bore ill will toward us.
It does.
Naomi confirmed, but her grin took on a sly edge.
But I might have wiggled my fingers a little to temporarily negate my spell so I could watch you kick some ass.
She waggled her fingers to demonstrate, and I saw a few silver sparks like I did during my fight with Toby. You canceled out your own spell just to see me punch some douche?
It was very sexy.
The witch purred and bit her lip.
But don't worry, the protective spell is back in place.
Thanks. I laughed and shook my head.
Well, now that those assholes are taken care of, we can focus on the return of the prodigal daughter.
Leah teased as she turned to Janine.
Did you find anything good?
Naomi asked.
Perhaps.
The redhead shrugged.
I was just about to go tell Carter about it in his office.
In his office?
A now tipsy Valerie asked.
The party's out here, though. I'll bring him right back.
Janine promised.
We won't be long. Fine.
Leah sighed as she sipped another bit of her sex on the beach.
Don't have too much fun, you two.
Leah.
Valerie giggled uncontrollably.
You make it sound like they're going away to... snap. You two are totally going back to the office to bang, aren't you?
What? I lied. No, Janine has some important information she needs to relay about her thesis.
I bet it's a hole-in-one.
Val said, as she did a penetration motion with her finger in hand.
And I think you're almost at the cutoff point.
Leah mused before she smiled at me.
See, she's a totally different person once she's had a few drinks in her. Now, you two go and do whatever you need to do, and we'll keep things in order out here.
Janine took me by the hand, and then we both walked into the back hallways of the lounge. Unlike before, where these halls were just simply empty corridors, they were now alive with the hustle and bustle of all the different employees. Several caterers ran around as they pushed carts full of food, while the servers leaned against the walls and took sips from their water bottles. Janine and I passed several people on the way to my office, and then we promptly slipped inside and shut the door behind us. "Okay," I said once we were alone. "I'll bite. What's going on?"
"Well, it's kind of both good news, bad news. The good news is I did find somebody who knows what the Shadow Man's true form looks like. The bad news, though, is that it's the Ancient Ones."
"No humans."
"No humans,"
she repeated as she shook her head.
"Our brains can't fathom what the Shadow Man actually looks like, and anyone who's ever tried to figure it out has only gotten vague, confusing descriptions from their prayers and visions."
"Fuck." I hung my head. I don't think it would be wise to summon Cthulhu just to ask him what the Shadow Man looks like.
"It could be any of the gods, though I don't know how you'd contact them either."
"Maybe the others will know," I said, and then I turned back to the door. "If we go talk to Naomi or Ada, or..." Before I could finish my sentence, Janine's soft hand rested on my shoulder and held me in place.
"There was another reason I wanted to get you alone, Carter,"
the redhead murmured in a husky tone.
"One that was more for personal gratification reasons."
I turned around and watched as Janine slowly began to unbutton her shirt, and I saw she was wearing a lacy bra as red as the locks on her head. My jaw hit the floor as my heart began to race, and the blood started to rush to my cock. Even though I'd been through a whole lot of stress these past few hours, Janine was about to make my fucking day. And hopefully I would make hers, too. Many, many times over.